Good morning. Our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
So, how are you today? Remember, how are you today? Blessed. We are blessed. You can say that every time and never lie. You can't always do that with "I'm okay," because we're not always okay. But every day of our lives, we are blessed. And that's what we need to be remembering always, not just this time of the year, but every day of our lives, we are blessed. It's so good to see you. We are glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us, we're really glad you've come our way. But if you're a regular, we're no less glad to see you. We are always happy to have you with us, and you make us stronger and better. So it's good to see you and hope you are doing well. We are, of course, in a very busy time of the year, and it's going to get busier. But let's remember, this is our opportunity every Lord's Day, every time the Lord's church comes together, to step back and remember what is most important and to let his peace descend upon us. And we need that. We need that regularly. Let me say to the kids, boy, thank you so much for what you did today and getting ready for today. I was at Walmart yesterday picking up my things for my bags, and I ran into one of the little ones with her mother. And it was so good to see them there for that reason, to know that that lesson is being impressed upon them, that they are remembering that there are other people around that are not so well blessed. And so all of you young ones that brought the bags up, all of you parents and grandparents and others who helped them to do that, thank you. And what a great demonstration of love this is. And we should also stop and say thank you to Lucy and Perry Jernigan, who have been doing this, helping us do this for all these many years. And this is something that really helps us as a church to remember that we are blessed, and there are others around us that are not so well blessed. So what a great opportunity. Come on Tuesday if you'd like. Help us distribute these. It'll be in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock or so, I think. Help us greet the neighbors that will come to pick up these bags and to show the kindness of Jesus Christ to them. We'd love for you to come and help us with that as well. It only takes a couple of hours. You don't have to stay that long if you'd rather not, but come and enjoy the sight of people who are receiving what we are giving. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll gather again at 6 o'clock. We're going to continue our lesson on a Christian glossary. Last week we talked about the word salvation. Tonight we're going to focus on another very important concept, and that is the word righteousness. What is righteousness? How do we get there? Is it really that important that we get there? In other words, let's find out, what does the Bible say about righteousness and me and you? And I think it'll be a very valuable study. Again, I will have to ask for your pardon as I dash off after we dismiss today. I'm headed back to the prison. I think they'll let me out in time for worship, but we'll see. But we're really glad you're here. Now let's get our Bibles out. Let's study together from the Word of God and find some marvelous, marvelous things in this book. We often say, and I hear it said a lot, and I think it's well said, that we are among the most blessed people on earth as Americans. We are. We have a lot of liberties. We have a lot of prosperity. And indeed, we have a lot to be thankful for. But even as we say that, how does that sound to people that live around us? Because I went to the site of the Second Harvest Food Bank of Northeast Tennessee. That's where our own Tom Cromie serves. And we often go there, Chick Gunner and others go there to help out. But there were some statistics there about our area I want you to be aware of. For example, it says that in Northeast Tennessee, one in five people in our region, one out of every five people live below the poverty line. One in five people live below the poverty line. One of every four children are so affected. And then they go on to talk about something they call food insecurity. And I think that's a good way to think about it, because it means that we don't always know that we're going to have food available. Many of us, we never have that problem, but there are many that do. 14.4% of those that live in our region suffer from food insecurity. They don't know that they're going to have enough food. And 25% of the children in our area are in that category. So you see, when we say we are the most blessed people on earth, let's remember that doesn't apply to everybody, even right here in this area of our state. And wherever you go, that's going to be the case as well. Well, that's why we see these bags of groceries gathered here today, because in a very small way, we want to say, well, at least on Thanksgiving, we want you to be thankful. But what about the other 364 days? Is there nothing for which they can be thankful then? And what about us? Because there have been times in our lives, I dare say most all of us, where we were in a bind. We were wondering, how am I going to get by? How will I be able to pay the mortgage? How will I be able to put food on the table? Is it only when things are physically okay that we can say, thank you, Lord? And that's the reason we're looking today at this lesson called Grateful for the Spiritual. There are spiritual blessings that belong to every child of God. Every child of God. And even when things outside in the physical realm are not so good, we can always, always say, Lord, you have blessed me abundantly. And as we approach Thanksgiving this year, let's put our focus on that idea, not just we're thankful for the food on the table, the house in which we live, the cars we drive. Let's be thankful especially for the spiritual blessings that surround us. Now, to help us see that, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Paul is a marvelous study in this, because Paul, I think you would agree, was a generally joyful person. I mean, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, and listen to how he begins this letter. After these standard salutations, he says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience. And then he goes on, I thank God. And you know, when you read the letters of Paul, and there are several of them, depending on who you attribute Hebrews to, but Paul begins almost every one of his letters with thanksgiving, almost every one of them. There are two exceptions, I think. But what does that say about Paul? You might say, well, everything was good for him. Everything was fine, and evidently, as he wrote this letter, everything was comfortable and okay. Really? Let's look a little more closely. In fact, let's go to chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin looking at some things that say otherwise, that things physically, materially, were not so good. In fact, as you're turning there, I'll just mention that in chapter 1, verse 16, and then again in chapter 2, verse 9, Paul mentions my chains. And we're wondering, well, what does that mean, chains? Well, all doubt is removed when you also read in chapter 1 and verse 8, where he says, I am a prisoner. In other words, he was writing this letter, the letter that he began by saying, I thank God, while he was a prisoner. And chains were upon his hands, his feet. We don't know the extent of them. The point is, he was not a free man. And let's look at some other things about Paul's life at this time that help us to realize things were not real good when he wrote this letter. Look at chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. We think this is probably the last letter that Paul wrote, probably not long before he was actually executed by the Roman Empire. Not sure about that, but that's very possible. And Paul is thinking, well, that time is about here. And how can you be thankful when you know that the warden is coming with the old sad padre walking down the aisle and they're going to take you to be executed? How can you be thankful at a time like that? Or go on to verses 10 and 11, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, where Paul then writes, For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. And you get the idea there that Paul has been abandoned. Now, we know that's true for Demas. The others, we're not sure why they had left. But Paul feels very much alone. Only Luke is with him at this time. And you get the sense he's feeling very lonely, very abandoned. And again, we wonder, how can a man be thankful if that really is his situation? In verses 14 and 15, listen again to what he says in this letter. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Now, Paul doesn't go into detail there, but we can imagine. Maybe Alexander the coppersmith himself beat Paul. Or maybe he had him arrested and tortured. We don't know. But the point is, Paul doesn't often complain. It's rare that Paul will mention anybody by name and say, they really hurt me. But here he does, and he's thinking about it at this moment. And again, it makes us wonder, how can a man be thankful if that is his lot right now? Or go to verse 16. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them? And again, that feeling of abandonment, people that could have been there to stand with him, at least, I mean, he wasn't asking them to testify, but you could have been there. You could have shown up and at least showed by your presence that you support me, but none of them did that. Again, it helps us to see what kind of situation he was in. Verse 21, look at what he says there. Do your best to come before winter. And you wonder, well, what's the rush, Paul? Go back to verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. And you wonder, is he beginning to feel the chill of winter? And when you're cold and just miserable, it affects the way you feel, the way you think. And again, all of these things combine, and you say, this is a man that doesn't have much going for him right now. But Paul would stop and say, oh, no, I didn't mean to say that. In fact, I have everything going for me. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, again, chapter 4, let's look at a couple of other statements, and now you'll begin to understand how he can rejoice and give thanks. Look at verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In other words, Paul says, yeah, it is tough right now. I will not deny that. But look at what I've got coming. Look at what has been laid up for me, which the Lord himself will give me on that day. And what more could I ask for? It is a blessing to know what lies in the future for me. And then again, notice what he says in verses 17 and 18 of that chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. But the Lord stood by me. Now, this is right after he said, nobody came, nobody stood with me. Now he says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And look at that confidence that he has. Now, is he saying that God's going to rescue me from Caesar, that I will not be executed? No. I don't think Paul was under any illusions on that. But he is saying that I will be delivered ultimately, and I will be delivered into the kingdom that is my goal. And I hope that is the goal of every one of us today. That no matter what happens to us here on this earth, it really doesn't matter if we make it to heaven. Because that will be just so worth anything that we have to endure here and now. That's the attitude that Paul has. Now, as you step back and look at all of this, you'd say, well, he can't see those blessings, those things that we notice right there at the end. He can't see those with his eyes. He can't hold them in his hands. No, but they're real. They are very real. And Paul says, I know, I have that confidence. They will be mine. And so no matter what happens to me in this body, on this earth, you know, I wish it could be different. But if it's God's will that I be delivered in this way, he'll take care of me. And so when he says at the beginning of the letter, I thank God, he means it. Even though his outward condition was not very good. Now, let's talk about ourselves. Having seen that example, what about us? Could we make similar statements that Paul made there? Well, in terms of our physical circumstances, probably not. We're not in anything like his circumstance. But spiritually, yes. And to see that, let's go to Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. The passage that was read for us a little bit ago, we're going to look at it again, really study it more carefully. And I think as we leave here, if you're really paying attention, if you come with a spiritual appetite, you're going to leave the building this morning saying, man, I ate too much. You're going to do that Thursday probably, right? Wow, why did I eat so much? Well, you're going to get that feeling from Ephesians chapter 1. Look at everything God has given to us. Now, again, some of us today would have to say, we're in pretty good circumstances. And if there is a checklist, you know, house to live in, check, got that. Warm clothing, check, most of us could say that. Plenty to eat, check. Pretty good health, check, you know, on down the list we could go. Some, maybe not all of the boxes, but, you know, we've all been blessed to a great extent. But we don't all live on the same street, do we? Again, let's recognize there are plenty of people, and some even among us, that could not say, as many of us would, I have been richly blessed materially. But the point is, even if that be our case, even if we're not in the best of physical circumstances, if we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, just look at what we have. And that's why we're going now to Ephesians chapter 1, because there Paul lays it out for us very clearly. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at how he begins in verse 3. Again, those customary greetings, verses 1 and 2. Now the meat of it begins in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Did you know there were spiritual blessings? Well, there are. In fact, there are a lot of them. And Paul is going to make known many of them in the verses that follow. But notice here, before we go any further, where are they found? In Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And that's why we're going to make the appeal at the end of the lesson. If you are not in Christ, you can't say, these are mine. And that's why we're going to say, you need to come and today be put into Christ. So be thinking about that as we look at all these spiritual blessings that belong to those who are in Christ. What are they? Well, let's look. Verse 4. He says, immediately after, he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Chosen. Chosen means that God had a choice. God didn't have to do this. He didn't have to take us. He wanted us, and he chose us in Christ. Now, a lot of people get hung up on this idea of being chosen. Oh, way before you were born, you were chosen by God. That's not what this says. This says, in Christ, if I make up my mind, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be baptized into him, then God chooses me for what? So that I might be holy and blameless. Blameless? You know, a few in this building are blameless. They're the really tiny ones, and they've not yet come to know the difference between right and wrong. They're not blamed with anything that they've done. But the rest of us who have reached that age of accountability, as we call it, we've made some poor choices. Some of us have made a lot. So how in the world could we be blameless? But that's what he chose us for. In Christ, we will be holy and blameless if we remain in Christ. And is that a gift? Yes. When we come to the day of judgment and we are judged, we don't want to be judged for the life we lived outside of Christ. We want to be holy and blameless. That is a gift that God has given us, a spiritual gift. And then go on to verse 5. He goes on and says, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. That is, God had made up his mind that anyone who comes to my son and is in my son, who is put in that relationship, they will be my children. I will adopt them into my family, in other words. They were not part of my family. They had left. They had gone into sin. But now they have a special relationship. They are my children. And again, is that not a gift? To be able to say, I am a son of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I am a daughter of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And Paul says, we are given that. It is a gift in Christ Jesus to know that we have that special favor, that we are in his good graces. What a gift. Verse 6, he goes on and elaborates even more. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In other words, we have the gift of grace in Christ. And what does that mean? It means that God opens up anything he has. It's like when the prodigal son came home and the older son got angry and he said, you know, I've been working for you all my life and you've never given me a banquet. And the father said, all that I have is yours. And that's what God says to us. If we are his children, if we are in Christ, you're in my grace. My domain of grace is open to you. And whatever you need, whatever you really need, I'll make sure you have it. That's the importance of being in the grace of God and having that wonderful, glorious grace. In verse 7, he goes on and talks about another gift. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Redemption. That's a word we don't use a lot. It means to buy back. And in a very real sense, it means that we belonged to somebody else before God redeemed us. Well, who did we belong to? If we were in sin, we belonged to Satan. We belonged to him. We sold ourselves out. We walked away from God. Now we belong to that. And we need somebody to redeem us from that. We can't just walk away. We have to be purchased. And God did that for us If we are in His Son, He did that for us through His blood, through the blood of His Son, and now we have the forgiveness of all of our trespasses. Again, they're not noted against us. They're not held against us any longer. We remember them. We lose sleep over them sometimes, but God will not hold them against us if we are in His Son. What a gift. What a blessing. Go down to verses 9 and 10. Another gift that Paul talks about there. He says, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to the purpose which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. The mystery. And a lot of us may not have known there was a mystery. But for a long time, there was that mystery. And God now says, I've made it known. What is it? It means that Christ has come in the flesh. That's part of it. That God Himself would put on a body of flesh. Why would He do something like that? Because He loves us. Because He wanted to redeem us. And the other part of that is to unite all things in Himself. In other words, to bring Jews and Gentiles together as one. People that did not get along prior to this. We now have the key to unity, to harmony, to love. We don't have to live hating one another and being hated by others. We now have the key to living in peace. And that is given to us again, Paul says, if we are in Christ. To us, He has made known that mystery, and now it belongs to us. In verse 11, yet another of those gifts. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will. In other words, again, if we are in Christ, this is our destiny. And while again, some would say, well, that's what God gave you before you were born, or maybe He didn't give it to you and you have no chance at it. Again, that's not what this is saying. This says that all who get on this plane will go to this destination. That's predestination. If you get on this plane, this is where you're going. If you don't get on that plane, you're not going there. Well, if you get in Christ, you're going to have an inheritance. That was God's predestined will. And so if we are in Christ, we have that marvelous, glorious inheritance. Some of you may have had an inheritance that's pretty remarkable in this life. Maybe a house or maybe a large sum of money. I don't know. But whatever you've had, whatever you've dreamed about, you know, that rich uncle you've never heard from, it will all fade when we have that inheritance, the one that God has for us. And we have obtained that in Christ. It's yours. Your name is written on the deed. Now you'll have access to it. And then finally, look at verses 13 and 14 to find one of these other spiritual gifts. He says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. And I'll confess, there's a lot about this gift I don't understand. I do know it's not talking about the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read about in other places in the New Testament, but it is telling me that I have been given the seal. It's a way of identifying this is one of God's, and the Holy Spirit Himself is that guarantee. I'm not in it by myself. I'm not doing this alone. I have a heavenly helper who is helping me to reach that eternal inheritance. And again, I don't understand all of the ins and outs of it, but I rejoice in it because it says that God Himself is with me in a very special way. Now, we could read on and find other gifts that we could identify in this passage and elsewhere throughout the New Testament, but I want you to see, that's what Paul is talking about when he says, in Him, we have been given every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. And again, we can't see these things. We can't put our hands on them. We can't hear them. But they're real. They're important. They are eternally important. And therefore, on Thursday, in fact, you don't even have to wait that long. As we give thanks to God for our blessings, don't just talk about physical things. Take time to say, Lord, I thank you that you have given me this peace of mind, knowing that I am your child, that I've been forgiven of my sins, that I have all of these gifts. Take time to be grateful for the spiritual. And let's think, we're not going to read the passage, Luke 15, 11 through 24, that parable of the prodigal son. And as you see the son coming down the path, coming back home, what's his condition? Well, looking at him, he looks pretty rough. He's been working with pigs. He's filthy. He smells. He's wasted because he's not had anything to eat for quite a while now. And inside, this man, this young man, is devastated. He knows he made a horrible mistake. He now understands how deceptive the world can be. He's broken. Of what value is this young man? And yet the father sees him. And he runs to meet his son. And what does the father do? He embraces him. He kisses him. He puts on him the robe and the ring and the sandals. And he says, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a celebration. What does it mean? It's a dim preview of what God has for you and for me when we come home in Christ. We come back to Christ looking very much like that prodigal son. We are filthy. We are covered with sin. We smell from all of the bad choices we've made. We are wasted away. And yet the Father ignores all of that. He sees that we're coming. And He loves us. He wants to lavish His gifts upon us. And He will do that. And if this morning you say, well, that's me. I'm not in Christ, and that describes me pretty well. Well, there's good news. God is calling you to come home. And if you believe that message, if you believe that Jesus came in the flesh, was actually God in the flesh, and that He died for your sins, if you believe that enough, that you would turn around from your sinful life and repent of it and confess Him as the Son of God, and allow someone to baptize you into Christ, you become an heir of all those bountiful spiritual blessings. We want you to do that today. We want you to be able to rejoice in the fullest way before you leave this building. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Have you continued keeping your eye on the spiritual blessings? Or if you need to repent, we urge you to come today and do that, and we'll pray together. We'll do what we can to encourage you. Make that decision now as we stand and sing.